Blake, we've been talking here, a little bit off topic, about various states and the rivalries inside those states. Not necessarily sports rivalries, city rivalries, like Dallas versus Houston, everybody bashing up in Ohio, Cleveland, or when Trevor Lawrence got drafted, I noticed a lot of Jacksonville bashing. Not the football program, the city. It's the rest of the state just looking at it, mocking it. What's the big one in Louisiana that everybody argues about?
Baton Rouge, New Orleans. Not even close.
Is that right?
Not even close.
So those are not united.
Oh, no. Not no. Uh-uh. Bill, it's a New Orleans Saints versus LSU. You know, people in New Orleans think that people in Baton Rouge are preppy, which the truth is they kind of are preppy. and so people in Baton Rouge think New Orleans smells like athlete's foot. And the truth is, Bill, it does.
Right.
So, I mean, it's a big rivalry. You know, even it even grew this year when the I want to be careful with this one, but, you know, Saints were thinking about playing in Baton Rouge, and then politically it got shut down, which made it a big old rivalry between the two cities. But, no, they do not like each other. It takes a lot for those two cities to come together. You know, Bill, in 2016, to give you an example, like my house got flooded in 2016, and those two communities kind of came together to help people, because everybody here does – suffer from the one thing, and that's bad weather and inclement weather and things like that. But when it comes to a day-in, day-out basis, New Orleans and Baton Rouge hate each other.
So it could be sports-related. It could be non-sports-related. It's a rivalry.
Oh, well, and Bill, even in sports, I mean, you have Edna Carr from Baton Rouge. If they play a team, you know, that's probably one of the best, if not the best, public school in our state, they might go up against a team like Catholic or University High, and it's a city robbery at that point.
Wow.
And so it you take your two biggest cities, you combine them, and it's an all-out bash. And the truth is New Orleans, for the better part in the sporting aspect, has gotten the best of teams in Baton Rouge. That's just the truth. I'll tell you another thing too, Bill, that from a city robber and kind of relating it to sport, Louisiana has had a very tough time, and LSU has had a tough time with recruiting guys in the north state of Louisiana. You know, Will Campbell's a kid who's an offensive tackle. He's a five-star. I think he's the number one tackle in the country on some services. And a lot of those kids don't feel the connection, you know, down in Baton Rouge and things like that. So there's also a disconnect between South Louisiana and North Louisiana as well.
Blake Ruffino with us. We'll let you know how you can get all of his shows. You know, it's amazing. You've been telling me about the next couple of classes in Louisiana and how loaded they are and quarterbacks, players, et cetera. And a couple of weeks ago, and I don't know why I hadn't noticed this, the class of 23 in the state of Alabama, which has a very limited population, Blake, right now has five stars in the top 25 in the nation.
Unreal, Bill. It's unreal. I mean, I feel like the Gulf Coast, the five stars, right? I mean, It's a loaded class. It's really top heavy around in the South, Bill. It's really top heavy. You know what's going to be interesting that I'm really looking forward to seeing, Bill, in reference to this 22 class and this 23 class? You know, we're starting camps back up, and at least we are here.
Yeah.
And LSU is going to be holding a couple camps. My former university, Southeastern, is going to be holding a camp. I'm going to doing some O-line drills there, doing some O-line teaching. I'm really excited to see some of these kids, and Bill, they're going to be going one-on-one. Hey, is I know we talk about this kid religiously, but I'm just using this as an example. Is Arch Manning better than Walker Howard? And so, you know, these kids in Alabama, I'm assuming that they'd be going to camps too, and hopefully we can go interstate where we bring LSU and other kids bring kids in from Alabama. These kids from Louisiana go elsewhere, so we can see these kids going one-on-one. You know, LSU just signed, or just got a commit bill from Jacoby Matthews from right here in Ponchatoula, the five-star safety. And Bill, we haven't seen him really go one-on-one against guys like an Aaron Anderson from Carr, who we were just talking about. So those are some interesting things that I'm looking forward to seeing, maybe some interstate camp rivalry coming up this summer.
Any new drama down at LSU?
Bill, there's so much drama, I don't know where to start. Not really. I think it's kind of calmed down a little bit. I mean, people keep – it's kind of really tuned down a little bit. You know, more evidence came out that Ed Orgeron was compliant in the things that he did when getting notified of some things. But, Bill, they're still calling – I mean, look, we have local media, again, local radio guy calling for him to be fired. I don't get it, even though, you know, we have the evidence. So not really any drama. But the good thing has been – I feel, you know, really this recruiting and camps and our state opening back up. You know, Alex Box had a really big crowd this past weekend. It was really big for our state. So with the reopening and things like that, that is kind of going behind the wayside for now.
You being an offensive lineman, did you keep up any with this D3 kid who went in the third round, Quinn Miners from Wisconsin? Was it Wisconsin Whitewater? Didn't even play football last year. Did you look at him?
Yeah, I watched him at the Senior Bowl. I watched him. He leans a little bit. What I mean by he leans is sometimes guys lean on their on their toes a little bit, Bill. Look, I think that he doesn't have the prototypical size, but he finishes very well. It was really interesting watching him. You know, I know that he dominated at the D3 level, but can he dominate in the NFL? It's a really big difference. I think him leaning the way that he does, being on the tip of his toes, offensive line is one of those things, if you're leaning on the tip of your toes, you're going to get beat. That is the one position where I think that you can sit here and say, you've got to be, I don't want to say more flat-footed, Bill, but when you're pushing an individual, okay, yeah, you want to have a little bit of a lean, but you got to have a base, especially in pass protection when a guy might bull rush you. You know, I remember a guy from Mississippi State who I went against in Fletcher Cox. He called me a little bit leaning, Bill, and he did things to me that I wish no other man would do to me again. You know, and so when you get in the NFL from these kind of talented individuals, I like this film. I just think that he needs a lot of polish around some of the things that he does. But he's tenacious. He's really aggressive. He's kind of quirky in the things that he does. You know, I thought he was quirky in some of the things that he did in run blocking, but it was effective. And so, you know, if it's effective, then, hey, who am I to judge?
Blake Ruffino with us. For parents out there listening right now that have a big kid who's a aspiring offensive lineman, other than the actual on the field practicing and all that, what's some of the things they could work on at a young age?
Footwork. Obviously, you're going to get stronger. And look, Bill, sometimes bigger kids have troubles when they grow with strength sometimes, squatting, flexibility. I was always worried about my strength, but that was never really my problem. Kurt Hester, who's a guy who's a strength coach with the Steelers at Louisiana Tech, is where he's at now. He's in multiple NFL teams. Bill, I mean, the strength's going to come. So if the one thing that I would work on a lot is flexibility. You know, I know this sounds crazy, but Pilates was a thing that I did back in high school and college that really enabled me for my squat numbers to go up, the flexibility that I had. I would do a lot of footwork drills and a lot of hand-eye coordination drills from a pass blocking perspective. I think that stretching for an O-lineman and a big kid's a big thing, because then the strength's going to come eventually. So that's what I know that sounds crazy, but the stretching and flexibility of your hips, and because of the explosion that you have to have on every down play, is the biggest thing for a big kid. The one thing that I tell kids that I train, and it's not often, but the ones that I train, we don't do any weightlifting or anything like that, because you're going to go get that somewhere else. I'm going to teach you the fundamentals, footwork, and hand placement, and if you get those fundamentals down, you'll be good for the next level.
Tell everybody how they can get your shows.
Thanks, Bill. AYS Sports on across the board, Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube. We're doing a $100 gift card giveaway again. If you've already subscribed, bring some of your friends in. We're going to put I say this jokingly, we're going to put the name in the hat. Hopefully my son, who's going to do the drawing, hopefully he won't try to throw them all away this time like he did last time. So go subscribe to our YouTube channel, 7 to 8 every Monday through Thursday, Saturday mornings at 8 a.m. And, Bill, as always, thank you for having me on.